Would you pray with me?
Father, I'm so grateful for today. So we think about this truth of your peace, Father. It's a peace that we need. God, it's a peace that we experience through your Holy Spirit, Lord. And in these days where life is really messy, these moments of not just pandemic, but politics, of simply just trying to figure out what the day-to-day will look like and what the future could look like, Lord, we can lose our way. But God, you call us to stand and to be confident in your peace, Lord, and to move within that peace, Lord. And when we experience evil and we experience being pushed around by others, Lord, I pray that we would know where our peace can reside, that it can be within you, Jesus, and we can depend on your Spirit. So, God, I pray as we talk about this truth, you go before it, Lord. And Lord, I pray we would be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be in verses 17 through 21 this morning. And as you're turning there, I want you to think about this with me. Have you ever experienced evil? Have you ever experienced evil? I don't want us to dwell on this necessarily, but I do think we know what evil can look like. It covers a broad array of mistreatment. One area of evil that I think about is African-American slavery. And when Africans were brought to the Americas and they were forced to work against their will, that was evil. I think about the Holocaust. Especially I think about the Jews who were persecuted and killed just because of their ethnicity. That was evil. I think about the evil that Jesus experienced when he came to our world and he went to the cross to pay for our evil sins. Jesus experienced evil. Jesus went to the cross so that you and I could receive forgiveness. But Jesus knows what evil is. So you and I can have an understanding of evil, but I think you and I also have experienced evil because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that is full of sin, and we interact with others, Lord willing, who do not believe in Jesus, so we do experience evil. When I think about evil, an area in my life that I've experienced it is when I was in middle school. When I was in middle school, I was verbally bullied. It was not an easy time for me in life. I was bullied in part because I was a follower of Jesus. You know, I knew I wasn't supposed to do the wrong thing. And so in those years of 12, 13, 14, when kids are just trying to figure out what life is about and they're awkward, which I was awkward as a middle schooler, they're just trying to figure out how to live life, and people can begin to one-up each other. Because I was a follower of Jesus, because I didn't want to follow the crowd when they were doing the wrong thing, I began to stick out like an easy target. So I was told regularly, no one likes you, Kent. No one likes you, Kent. That was not easy. It's not easy for a middle schooler to hear those words. It's not easy for anyone to hear those words. And I was called inappropriate names. I was laughed at. It was not a fun time for me. I'm so thankful that Jesus walked with me through those times. I grew through those times. But I experienced evil. So I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about evil, but again, I think we all can understand and we can all recognize that there is evil in our world and we need to know how to respond to that evil. So how do we respond when we are treated unfairly? How do you and I respond when we are treated unfairly? And with that, we're coming to Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, I just invite you to listen to these words anew and to think about what God might have in store for us as we respond to evil. Starting in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. It's interesting to think about this concept. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and this church was getting pushed around for their faith. And yet Paul's encouraging them, you do not need to respond inappropriately when you experience evil. You do not need to respond inappropriately. You do not need to repay evil for evil. When I think about this concept of repaying evil for evil, I think about the word retaliation. And one way I think retaliation can take place, and we can think about this concept, for those of you who are parents and for children as well, we think about when a child pushes their brother or sister because their brother or sister took their toy from them just when they started to play with it. You know, that they respond in retaliation by pushing their sibling. A parent will typically discipline both children, right? Why? Because they don't want their children to respond in evil. They want their children to learn how to share and to love each other. They don't want their children to repay evil for evil. And for this church in Rome, they were experiencing moments where it would be easy for them to want to retaliate. You know, for many of them who are Greco-Romans, they've turned from their old religion, their old philosophy of life, and now they stand out for their faith. And for the Jews who have left their previous way of following the law, they become now easy targets as well. They look different as followers of Jesus, and they become easy targets. And they're getting pushed around for their faith. And Paul says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. And then he states, be careful. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. When I think about this phrase, be careful, I think about the word caution. You know, I think about these yellow lights that are flashing. You know, I think about an alarm that's sounding off. You know, warning, you could respond inappropriately. But unfortunately, in those moments when we experience evil, I can be so quick to react. So quick to react. To want to retaliate. And I think in many respects, that's what our world is drawn to. It's what our unbelieving neighbors are typically drawn to. We defend ourselves. We want to stand up for ourselves. But there's a different way of living here. Paul's encouraging this church, be careful. Be cautious. Or maybe we could use this phrase. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. Words that are easy to say and hard to live by, right? But if we think, if we have caution, if we recognize that there's an opportunity in front of us, we might see that God is working. And we might see that we don't need to respond in the same way as our unbelieving neighbors. We can respond differently. Now we can take this truth, this hope that we have in the gospel, we can apply it to our lives, and we can dwell in the peace of Christ. So how do we respond when we're treated unfairly? You know, when I think about this concept, I think about preparation, I think about the many times that I have traveled by plane. When I've traveled by plane, typically right before takeoff, the flight instructor, somebody will state different plans that we have just in case there's an emergency, just in case. One of these plans that I remember well is that if the cabin loses oxygen pressure, that an oxygen mask will fall in front of me. If there's a child beside me, I should first put on the mask, and then I can help the person beside me. And also, if it doesn't look like my oxygen tube is inflated, I shouldn't worry. I should know that oxygen is still flowing through the tube. I will be able to continue to breathe. It's okay. You know, another thing, and it's just kind of silly when this happens, but when I've been flying mostly over land, they'll still say, though a water evacuation is unlikely, I should know that a life vest is located below my seat. And I think, wow, it's good to know that just in case. And that's important because when there is an emergency, I need to know what to do. Otherwise, I'll be in serious danger. danger because I will be responding in a way to protect myself, and everyone around me will be trying to do what is right in front of them so that they can be safe, so they can be protected. So it's important for us to have a plan, because just as much as we need to know the plans when we fly, I'll tell you, I've never used any of those plans before. But I have experienced evil. You have a very high likelihood of experiencing evil. So we should know what God is calling us to do when we're treated unfairly. Verse 18 states, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Live at peace with everyone. And we're called to live in God's sovereign peace. When I think about the word peace, though, I do often think about our Woodstock neighbors. You know, peace and love, right? But I would say the peace that they're trying to live in, they're desiring, is that the negative things outside would not affect them personally. In fact, sometimes people will actually fight for peace. But I would say often the peace that is being fought for is a man-made peace. It's not a peace that comes from relationship with Jesus. It's not a beautiful peace that is the redemption that we have and the relationship that we have with Christ. That we can dwell within this awesome peace from our spirit, from the Spirit of God that we have received through faith. I know that I didn't get this right when I was in middle school. And I know it because though I didn't respond often inappropriately to my peers, I got very angry with my parents. You know, I let the anger that was within me when I was in front of my peers out on my parents. And I'm so grateful that my parents loved me, that they were patient with me, they walked with me through those hard times. They knew that my life wasn't easy. But still, I know that I did not respond inappropriately. I was still trying to manufacture my own peace to get through the hard times that I was with my peers. It's not easy. But for you and I, we're called now to depend on this awesome peace, to think, to be cautious, to respond in love. So what could it look like for you to respond differently? To take on God's peace. To think before you act. We're blessed because we can know the truth that is within us. We can actually know our identity, that we can be found in Christ, and that He is with us. It's important for us to also think about this truth. Do we know who we are when we experience evil? Do you and I know who we are, that we're followers of Christ? That we don't have to respond in the same way as our unbelieving neighbors. We don't need to respond differently. So I would submit to you this. If we're going to respond differently, if we're going to know how to live differently, we need to do this. We need to take on God's peace. We love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. We love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. I know that's not easy. I get that it's not easy for someone who's experienced evil in those moments. It's hard to take on God's peace. But if we recognize this, we're working within the Spirit's power. We're working within God's sovereign power. He is the one who creates the possibility for us to move forward in confidence. When we are being mistreated, we love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. Paul goes on, and I think this is so good for us to hear these words. Not easy words to live by, but important words for us to understand. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord." Do not take revenge. Do not take revenge. It's important for us to hear these words. It's important for us to live out this truth. Because again, Paul knows it would be so easy for us to react. It'd be so easy for us to lose sight of who we are. But God sees us when we go through our times of mistreatment. And for those of you who have been going through the pandemic, my brothers and sisters, I know for me it's been really, really encouraging when people have called me during this pandemic. They've said, Kent, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? You know, I felt seen. I felt remembered, right? For those of you who've experienced phone calls, I know that I've talked to people within our congregation who've said they're so thankful for those who've actually gone out of their way to help them. Some people within our congregation have actually gone grocery shopping to help people who are vulnerable to this pandemic. It's a wonderful thing. These people have felt seen, they felt remembered in this pandemic when we could all feel isolated and we could all feel alone. It's so good for us to feel seen. But how much more important is it for us to remember that God sees us when we are mistreated? God sees us when we're mistreated. You know, he sees you when you're put down. He sees you when you go through these hard times. He sees you when you need to lay down your rights. He sees you when you're mistreated. And more than that, and this is wonderful, God says, I will take revenge. And why this is important, it's not that we want our enemies to experience the revenge. Although sometimes, I'll be honest, when I've experienced evil in those moments, it is hard to not want to respond again inappropriately. I want them to feel pain because of the inside pain that I'm feeling. But it's not appropriate for me to react. I want my unbelieving neighbor to experience grace and forgiveness. I want them to know Jesus just like I've come to Christ. But if God says he's going to take revenge, it's important to understand this. That means we are his. That means he sees us as his children. Do you know who you are when you experience evil? Do you know who you are? You're a child of God. And this is wonderful. This is wonderful truth. If we are children of God, then we are children of God. Doesn't change. Doesn't change. And when we go through those moments, when we experience evil, I know it can be easy for us to feel like we're being defined by that evil. Those words that somebody's saying towards us, the way that somebody's responding towards me, I can feel like I am being redefined in an inappropriate way. And it hurts me. It hurts me. But if I take this truth seriously, just as Paul is speaking to this Roman church, if I take this truth seriously, I know that my identity cannot be changed by anybody. God has defined me. He says who I am. He wants me to know I am his child. So I'm not called. I'm not supposed to let anybody else give me a new identity. God has defined who I am, and he is so good at giving us our own identity. Amen? So when we experience moments of mistreatment, we can have confidence. God wants us to have confidence. Paul wanted this church that was being pushed around to recognize, I get it. It's not easy. It's not easy to go through these hard times. It's not easy to stand out for Christ. When the world around us feels like it's shaking, when it feels like we might be redefined by something that's inappropriate. But know who you are in Christ. Know who you are. And for many of us, I mean, I get it. When we think about religious persecution, we often can feel like, well, I don't really experience a lot of that, Kent. Like, I don't experience regular religious persecution. It's okay. I think for most of us, we're probably never going to experience the level of persecution that our brothers and sisters in the Middle East and Far East and places around the world are experiencing persecution right now. You know, they're being killed for their faith, much less giving up so much so they can follow Jesus. And for many of us, we probably will never experience that. Especially right now, at least, you're probably not experiencing that level of persecution. If you are, please tell me. But let's understand this truth. Let's see this truth. That just because we don't experience regular religious persecution, we don't get a pass on this truth either. But more importantly, God is calling us to stand out for our faith. When it would be easy for us to just go with the flow, God wants us to respond differently. Again, as I've stated, I know I got this concept wrong when I was in middle school. But still, there are moments in our lives where God wants us to stand out for our faith, to simply take him at his word. And I know it's not easy. You know, there are those days where we think, whew, it'd be so much easier if I would just not, you know, keep my mouth shut. You know, when somebody wants me to laugh at something that they did that I know is inappropriate, you know, it'd be easy for me just to laugh along with them. Or when I know somebody did something wrong, it'd be easy again for me just to keep my mouth shut, keep going along with my day. Don't confront them or don't go to my employer because I know that that's going to get messy. But Paul understood this. In fact, I think that's why he states in verse 18, you know, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So we take God at his word. We are confident in God's grace. But there are those moments when you and I just need to stand out for Christ. We need to take God at his word. And I believe this truth. I believe this truth, that Paul knew if we stood out for Christ, if we took on God's peace, we would actually become invitations for other people to receive faith and receive grace also. So it's important for us to remember that we love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. We don't take revenge. We don't retaliate. No. We do this. We respond in love. We think, we pause, and then we move forward in love because we believe God is working. Paul goes on and he states in verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, Paul believed this, that if we dwelled within the peace of Christ, if we knew who we were, if we took God at his word, we would stand out. It's important for us then to recognize, again, to see who we are, that there was a moment when we were not followers of Jesus. We have to see our sin in that respect to recognize, you know, I need the grace of God to be a child of God. And the person who right now is my enemy, they need the grace of God to become followers of Jesus. They need the forgiveness of God. And so this concept, it says, heaping burning coals on one's head. We don't necessarily know what's going on here, to be honest. We don't. It could be a first century practice for forgiveness. But I think in many respects, what this is saying is that when we're confronted with evil, when we have an enemy, we'll say, instead of retaliating, we'll look at them and we'll see the possibility that is within us and in front of us because of God's power that's within us, because we believe God is working right in front of us. And so we see the grace of God within our own life. We believe this truth, that our enemy can receive grace and forgiveness just like us. It's amazing to think about this. Who knows? Who knows? Your enemy could become your brother or sister in Christ. And that's the goal. So when it's talking about heaping burning coals on one's head, it means that our enemy would see that we're responding differently. That instead of reacting, that instead of retaliating, instead of acting like the rest of the world who wants to defend themselves, we take on God's peace. We have a confidence that just looks different than the world around us. That we've actually believed that we've become children of God and that we can love the person that's right in front of us with the love of God. So how do we respond when we're treated unfairly? I think that this text, when it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. We can do that. We can actually feed somebody. We can actually give them something to drink. Then we can buy them lunch, maybe. We can do that. But I think more importantly what this text is teaching us and where we can see where this can apply to our lives is that we don't hide under a rock when we have an enemy. We don't avoid our enemies. We don't look for ways to just get around our enemies. I know that's easy to do, to to want to avoid the person that's in front of us, because we know, again, we could have a much easier day. I can go home without having these thoughts in my head that I need to continually lay down at the foot of the cross and say, God, I'm angry at this person. I cannot be angry at this person. You know, I know it's easier for me just to avoid that person. But God doesn't want us to do that. And Paul knows. In fact, it's kind of impossible for us truly to just avoid our enemies. Again, because we live in this world of sin and brokenness. So instead of hiding, instead of looking for ways to get around our enemies, we look for opportunities to love them. That we actually keep our eyes open. And when somebody responds in evil, we say, ah, they're having a bad day. Or this person is struggling with who they are. They have a lot of stress that's going on right now. No, for my peers, when they were going through middle school, we were going through middle school together, I can now look back at this many years later. I can look back and think that, you know, they were struggling. They were struggling to be liked. They wanted to be liked. For some of them, I don't even know what was going on in their home situations. I don't know a lot of what was going on. But when we experience evil, we can see the person, the enemy, as a human being, as somebody who God, through Jesus, went to the cross for. We would see the opportunities that are right in front of us. We would take God at his word. We would move forward in confidence. Because again, we're not defined by what they say. We don't have to worry. You and I do not need to worry when somebody says something negative. God is still sovereign, and God is still working. So I don't know, again, who your enemy is in this moment, or who, what comes to mind for you. And again, I don't really want us to dwell on that necessarily. I just want us to recognize that we need to have a plan, just like Paul wanted this church in Rome to have a plan. So maybe it really is your physical neighbor next door who is just driving you crazy. Maybe for you it's an opportunity just to look outside your door and think, okay, how do I love this person? I mean, maybe this is a pandemic, so maybe this wouldn't actually be appropriate. You think about this. But we are coming up to Christmas, and maybe this is an opportunity for you to bake them cookies. Or for you to buy them a gift and just let them know, hey, Merry Christmas. You know, that's in some ways just a culturally appropriate thing that we can do. It's not like we're just going way out of our way to love them, you know, like they're going to be like, okay, that was just weird. Maybe it's just a way for us to begin to build relationship. So we just buy them a gift. Or maybe it does look like just going out of our way to love our coworker who is just trying to make it up the corporate ladder, like so many people are. Maybe for us, it's an opportunity just to say, okay, how do I go out of my way so this person can experience the love of Jesus? Maybe when they snap at me, I just keep my mouth shut. Just keep my mouth shut. And remember, they're struggling, and they need Jesus. They need the hope that is within Christ. Or maybe it does look like, you know, we go out of our way. Maybe on a day we see, oh, they forgot their lunch. I'm going to buy pizza. And then I'm going to share it with people around me, and I'm going to make sure they get pizza also. Again, this is just an opportunity for us to love those who are around us, to be different, to shine out the love of Christ, to be confident in who we are because we have the peace of God that's within us. We do not need to respond inappropriately. We do not need to respond inappropriately. We can actually do this. We can actually overcome evil with good. We can believe in the hope that is within us through Christ. We can move forward in confidence. So how do we respond when we're treated unfairly? How do you and I respond when we are treated unfairly? I want to make sure that you hear this truth. We love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. We love them. We love our enemies. because we want them to experience the love of Jesus. We love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. Please understand, though, I'm not saying that we should become physical or verbal punching bags for bullies. It's not what I'm saying. But recognize this. We can respond differently than our unbelieving neighbors. You and I can respond differently. We don't have to be just like everybody else because we know who we are. We know that Christ has gone to the cross for us. We know that God loves us. We know that we have a hope that is found within Jesus. And most importantly, in those moments when life just seems crazy, I just want to throw a punch. No. I stop. I pause. I think. And I act in love. We talk about being grace beyond the walls. You know, yesterday was a great opportunity for us to be grace beyond the walls with Trunk or Treat. We had an opportunity to love our neighbors, to have people come onto our property, and numerous people say, thank you so much for putting on Trunk or Treat. Thank you. And we know that in many ways, the reason they were so thankful is because this year has just been up and down, and it's been a hard year for people. It was a way for us to go out of our way to love them, to actually have unbelievers, many unbelievers, like over 200 cars came through our parking lot. There were many people, I'm sure, that were unbelievers, came onto our property, and we got to love them. But when we talk about taking grace beyond the walls, taking the grace that God has given us and applying it to our lives so that other people will experience God's grace, they'll experience love and forgiveness. This is one way that we live out that truth. We love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. That we don't simply go with the flow. We don't go with the grain. Sometimes, actually, we go against the grain. We take God at his word, and we believe that God is still working. You know, we can actually stand out for Christ. We don't need to respond with our own man-made peace. In fact, we can make space. We can make room for the peace of Christ. And again, who knows? Who knows? Your enemy, your neighbor, who's driving you crazy, your coworker who's driving you crazy, your peer who's just bothering you. We could see them as people that Jesus went to the cross for. People that God went to the cross for so they could experience the same redemption, the same forgiveness of their sins. Who knows? Who knows? Our enemy could become our brother and sister in Christ too. So how do we respond when we're treated unfairly? We love those who mistreat us through our sovereign God's peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for this truth. So grateful for this truth. I need to be reminded continually that I can respond differently. I don't need to respond like my unbelieving neighbors. You don't want us to respond like our unbelieving neighbors. You want us to stand out for you, Jesus. And not just to stand out, but because we really believe that our enemies can also receive forgiveness. God, you placed us here for a reason, Lord. We're not finished. We're just moving forward in confidence on your mission. So keep moving forward. Keep us moving forward. Keep us going on your mission, Jesus. We look forward to celebrating the ways you'll continue to lead and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.